I'm Hugh Atchison, and this is Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot. I taped a Baker's Dozen Plus One episodes, conversations, they say, all over New York during two recent trips. If you haven't heard the first two episodes, they are Tom Colicchio Heats Up Leftovers and Carla Hall Finds Soul Food. You should download them and listen. If you're enjoying the show, please rate it and write a review on your podcast app. If you're listening to the show on the Himalaya podcast app, which I highly recommend, you can leave comments or questions on each episode. I will read your comments. I may even mention you in a future episode. I may even respond to your comment like a weird troll. Next week's episode is a laugh riot. Well, you know, it's a funny one. It's with two food people who become borderline comedians when you put them in a room together. That's Aaron Bludorn, who is the chef at Cafe Ballou in New York, for Danielle Ballou, and Andrew Knowlton from Bon Appetit. So come back next Tuesday for that. Today's guest, though, is an actual comedian. He's a TV writer, and he's an actor, and his name is John Glazer. He's got a great show on True TV called John Glazer Loves Gear. It's a hybrid of a scripted comedy and a reality TV show about his weird obsession with camping gear and bicycle gear and tennis gear and all things gear. The 10-episode Plus Season 2 is airing now on True TV, and you can watch the 10-episode first season on demand or on the True TV app. We taped a conversation on a chilly night at Luke's Lobster Rolls in Brooklyn, which is one of Glazer's favorite little neighborhood restaurants. Here's that conversation. John Glazer eats a lobster roll.
I am in Brooklyn, New York. I am at Luke's Lobster Bar Place. And I'm hanging out with John Glazer. And John is an actor, and would you consider yourself a comedian? Are you funny?
I guess so.
Okay, good. Would you have that on a business card?
Actor / comedian?
Yes.
Every time, I always feel like whenever I put like a bio or anything like that, it always ends up being like actor / writer, because I do both. I don't do traditional stand-up as far as the comedy clubs and all that. There's a lot of, and I always hate the phrase alternative comedy, but there are a lot of places, especially in this neighborhood. There's a couple really good bars: Union Hall, Littlefield, Bell House. You can't see on the podcast, but I'm pointing behind northwest, east. So there's some really good bars around here that do really good comedy shows, and I'll do more like, you know, conceptual bits or concepts or whatever. So, but every time I think about that, I always think about that thing they did on Letterman, the actor singer. Wasn't that like a thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's okay. I'm a kitchen gnome / author. I'm a chef. I don't know exactly what it is anymore and how to describe it. But back to John's
bio. I mostly do comedy stuff.
He does comedy stuff. And he's got a show that's currently on True TV, but you can rent it on Amazon and buy it on Amazon. But the season, you can definitely get season one. Season two is airing now on True TV. And it is called John Glazer Loves Gear.
Yeah.
And you think it's some idea of Gear Patrol or Acquire, these websites which focus on EDC and stuff like that, which is everyday carry.
I was going to say, what's EDC?
EDC.
You know, everyday carry?
Everyday carry. It's the contents of your pocket and how cool knife or your pocket knife and key fob are.
EDC, I like that.
Their acronyms are for everything.
Is that a thing where it's just like, show me what you got? Is that
basically, concept? And you lay it on your table and that's a brass Zippo and a
so is it like more of a visual ASMR?
Yeah, you got to Google it.
And ASMR did I get that? It's ASMR, right? The audios, I don't know what it stands for. You know, like people talk very softly and I'm going to open this magazine now. I'm like, is it called ASMR?
Like an unpacking?
No. It's a thing where people, there's YouTube videos where someone might talk and they talk very softly.
Oh, that's
and they'll awesome. They'll fold towels. And now I'm going to make this crease right here. And it's just,
is it meant to be calming?
Yeah, I think that it's I could be getting this wrong, but I think the idea is that you're just very, you find it very relaxing to hear the tone of someone's voice.
I watched YouTube videos of people
also the
folding
way,
clothes, but they're speaking normally. But I did learn how to fold clothes, which I realized that I've been doing wrong for my entire life.
Well, this one, unless I'm getting it, ASMR, unless I'm saying it wrong every time, it's more about the audio, the oral, I think, A-U-R-A-L experience.
Okay.
Of listening to it, as opposed to a tutorial about how to fold a sheet.
You don't understand me in the deep dive. I'm going back to the hotel and deep diving into this.
Well,
now.
I'm
going to
do EDC.
EDC. So John Glazer loves gear.
Pulling out my phone to email myself.
A very hilarious show in which John takes you around the place where he lives in Brooklyn and embarks on a crazy quest to acquire gear, much to the chagrin of his wife and entourage. And John, how the hell did a show like this get made? Like, what's the pitch on this?
It's a very solid question. It was actually a very different show when I pitched it. It was way more reality-based. I didn't think I'd even pitch it to a comedy network. I think it's funny because when we were shooting the show, especially the first season, a lot of people on the crew would talk about, their friends would ask them, what are you working on? Oh, it's a show called John Glazer Loves Gear. What is it? And they had a hard time describing it. Because
it's kind of a gearhead show that's making fun of gearheads, but not really. It's difficult because it's not really making light of. You're not pranking anybody, as we already talked about before we turned the mics on. But it's definitely a setup of all this gear stuff. But still, the gear is cool.
Well, it's rooted in truth, which is that I genuinely do love gear. And gear, obviously, is a very kind of...
It's a very broad topic.
Very broad topic. It can be... It doesn't have to be sports or athletic. I remember telling a friend of mine about the show. She's a comedy writer. And just the general idea, and her response was, oh, my God, I love these Japanese pens and the case that it comes in and the cartridges. Could easily be a topic for the show. You know, just pens and all the stuff that it comes with.
And I think that gearhead idea is like, it's not just a pencil anymore. It's a Blackwing. And it's a certain number of Blackwing pencil.
Yes.
You know, it's that one of toque made by the three-fingered man in Brooklyn who collects cat hair from this one varietal of minx cat.
That's part of it.
It's quest.
Like nerding out on the details of whatever activity you're into, whether it's camping, whether it's cooking, you know, all like the cool knives. And I love this handle and the way it feels, this particular handle and the shape of it. All those details, it's kind of what is at the root of the show. And originally it was a way more reality-based idea where I'd go to a company and just kind of nerd out on all the cool stuff they had. And then the comedy components would be more of an afterthought. And then from the pitch to the pilot, to the series, it just kept changing and evolving into a way more scripted comedy show, which still has reality moments. It's a little more of, I hate the word hybrid, but it does have both elements, but it's a more scripted show at this point.
But the first one, you know, when you did the initial pitch, what did you find was the inherent comedy to that?
Well, it's... Again, like it was a much different pitch when I pitched it initially.
Right, to what ended up happening.
They really, True TV was doing a lot of like reality-based comedy stuff. So I think they really responded to the reality element to it. And it still has that element to it. And then when it changed, they were still really receptive to that. They liked all the changes that it was going through. And they supported all the scripted elements. But even at, you know, even as a scripted thing, it's still a fake reality show. So it does have that feel to it, which I guess fits more of their network. But thankfully, even though it was a very vague kind of idea when I pitched it, they still responded to it. And I really liked the people that I pitched to. They were really cool and smart.
But even in episode one, I mean, part of episode one of the very beginning is the pitch and the quick acceptance of the show as being hilarious because you are with Scott
Steve,
yeah, who is the sidekick.
The spurt.
The
which is short for expert, but it becomes this
the insulting. The spurt, which is then spelled S-P-U-R-T.
Apostrophe S-P-U-R-T.
Yes. Monogrammed on Steve's shirt. Yes. The spurt.
Spurt. Hey, spurt.
Which Steve is a very large gentleman with a very broad chest, and he rips off his shirt in the first episode to show that he can take a compound bow and show the intricacies of it and kill something.
He's a genuine, and that's all real. Steve is a genuine, like, outdoorsman, sweet guy. He's got two kids, but he's a survivalist. He's done survival camps. He sent me photos. They live out of the city a little bit. He sent me some hilarious photo of just they hunted and killed a deer with his bow, and he taught his kids how to, you know,
skin it.
He sent me a photo of his son holding the heart. I mean, he's a real, genuine outdoorsman.
He can cook that heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He for sure can.
You do that.
So Steve plays the sidekick, and he's hyper fit.
Yes, he's hyper fit, but runs into some issues in the first episode that are very interesting, and ends up because your wife on the show, who is not your real wife, refuses to be on camera. Correct. So you enlist and cast a absolutely beautiful Icelandic woman named Ava. Ava is how do I skirt around this? Ava's stunning.
Yes, she is.
That is not lost on you, but it's not lost on Steve either, who on a camping trip has a threesome with Steve's wife and Ava,
right.
Much to your chagrin that you later on, it seems like the chagrin was just that you weren't included.
But, well, yeah, it's this combination of just that I wasn't included, but I also stick to the fact that, you know, I act like Steve had sex with my wife. And he's constantly reminded that it's the actress who plays my wife. And my whole thing is, well, for all intents and purposes, she's playing my wife in the show, so you fucked my wife. And I just keep getting mad about that. And so, yeah, it's all these, like, weird blurred lines and layers, which are, again, all, like, based in truth with my wife. My real wife would probably never want to be on camera. I would personally never put my kids on camera.
Right.
So that's why we have the joke, which is one of my favorite jokes from the whole show, is that the faces are blurred. You never see their faces.
Yeah.
Even asking that actress who I'm very old friends with, Miriam Tolan, who plays my wife. I've known her from Chicago Second City days when I lived there and performed and did improv there. And she's so funny. And I almost felt bad when I reached out to say, do you want to do that? We just offered her the part because she's a friend and she's hilarious. We'll never see your face.
You, but it's a good gig.
She was psyched. It's it's fun. She's like, yeah, I can just show up and look like shit and not care.
There's no makeup needed. That's really good. So you are from Chicago?
No, I'm from the Detroit suburbs. I was born in Detroit, grew up in this town called Southfield, but I lived in Chicago for about 4.5 years.
Okay, doing improv, Second City stuff.
Did Second City.
I always find the genetics of Second City are so Canadian throughout history. And so I grasp onto it.
Just because of the Toronto.
Just because of so many people
SCTV.
Passing through. Yeah, SCTV.
SCTV was the greatest.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
Just incredible. Amazing.
I mean, the real birthplace of tons of comedy.
There was this, I can't remember how long ago. It was maybe like, I don't even know, 20 years ago? It was the 50th anniversary of Second City, and they hit this big event where so many people came in, and I usually don't get too starstruck, but meeting Catherine O'Hara was like
a
genuine, like, oh my god.
Catherine O'Hara's band?
Oh god.
She had a music band for
like a real band?
I swear she did.
Or like not a bit, like not a comedy bit on the show?
No.
Wow, I don't know.
I'm going to have to look up that.
But that was
maybe wrong on that.
Thrilling. And then I got to actually do something with her years later, this Adult Swim. Adam Scott did these, they would recreate the opening credits of shows, and they only did maybe a few of them, but I got to do one, which is really fun, and Catherine O'Hara was in it.
What was the show?
This one was Too Close for Comfort.
Oh,
right?
Awesome.
Ted Knight.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so fun. Just hanging out with her, and she just couldn't be cooler, no pretense about her, so nice, so down to earth, and just one of the funniest people ever. Oh, that was a genuine, genuine thrill. Oh my God.
That is such history in comedy. So you were, your resume is, it's littered with beauty
Wow, and, thank you.
Wonder why, because it's got that.
It's a good way to phrase it.
Hootie Tang.
Hootie Tang was a cool experience.
Yeah.
I mean, it had Hootie a teeny Tang. Tiny little thing in it, but still, just to be in Hootie Tang.
Hey, you're in. I mean, that's something you pass on to the grandkids.
Yeah.
And then Parks and Rec, you played Jeremy Jam in seasons four and five.
Might have been even earlier.
Five and six.
I think it was maybe earlier.
Maybe it was.
I can't remember exactly, but that was a, what a great time. That
what
was
an amazing cool. cast.
Pretty awesome.
That show, Maya Beatrice and Clementine, my daughters, I think I've watched every episode of that show about six times. And they're on the floor laughing over everyone.
So they already know this is the year interview? That
yes.
This is
yes, they do. They think it's very cool. And it's good. You're giving me street cred with the kids, which at 14 and 16, you're about to find out, is not easy.
Pretty, pretty important. Cool dad.
Yeah. I like the meats. I use ButcherBox.com because I get this amazing, really nice cold pack, really properly, all beautifully sealed packages of little meat. And you get beautiful grass-fed beef and free-range chicken and old-school heritage breed pork and now wild Bristol Bay salmon from Alaska. Shipping is totally free in 48 states. They're all these meats are hormone and antibiotic free, and they're just a beautiful, beautiful selection to really advance your cooking and advance the meals you're having at home. Keto diet? Get on it. I mean, you don't have to. You can do whatever diet you want, but, you know, these are really good things to have and to cook.
Go to butcherbox.com/Hugh to get two free filet mignons, some free bacon, and $20 off your first box. There's no excuse not to cook well. Trust me, I'm a chef.
We are in Brooklyn. You live here. What's good around here? What's good food-wise? What do you love?
There's some pretty good food around here. There's, you know, my wife is from San Antonio, but and so Mexican food is pretty.
Is there great Mexican food right in Brooklyn?
I mean, for her, no, which right. I understand, because having gone to visit in San Antonio, there's such good just Tex-Mex food and just incredible food down
but
there.
The Riverwalk is kind of like Myrtle Beach in
No, you got to get out.
Yeah, you got to get out.
Riverwalk is fun and all that, but you have to get out to the outskirts. There's this place.
There's actually some really good food in San Antonio now.
You heard of Teca Molina?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is just
I've heard of it. I haven't been there, but
for sure.
We filmed some TV there, and it was said there's some really cool food around there.
If you go to San Antonio, definitely go
to Molina.
It's so good.
Okay.
And there's, God, I don't know the name of the place. I can find out. We went to this. It just seems like you like a little just shitty diner. You walk in, and it's just amazing food.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. But there is a place actually not too far from us called Barrio 408. That's, I think, really good Mexican food.
Amazingly, in Athens, Georgia, we have really good Mexican food. And I think it's because of the agrarian population that goes in farms and stuff like that around there.
Doesn't seem initially. Too surprised. Just because, I guess, because it seems southern, it doesn't seem too far-fetched.
Yeah, everybody thinks the Southwest and whatever. Right. But, there's good Mexican food in a lot of locales that you wouldn't think there is. But we have this one place that's a Mexican grocery store with a taco store, or a taco shop out front, and it is phenomenal.
Someone told me about a taco place in the back of a deli near where I live. I have yet to go, but that's a place that
I have to try. Again, that's a taco place in the back of a Jewish deli.
A Jewish deli, like a bodega. No, just a bodega.
Just a bodega.
Yeah,
okay.
Just like a nondescript deli, just a bodega on the corner, and they said if you go to the back, which also there's a banh mi place in Manhattan. I don't know the name of it, and I'm not even sure if it's still there. But there was a place in Chinatown, like you go to the back of a jewelry store, and there is this banh mi counter, just incredible sandwiches.
Kroger, the grocery store now.
They
have a jewelry store.
I'm from Detroit, so I always love hearing Kroger.
But they're like Walmart now. You walk in, and there's a jewelry store, and it's like, I'm just trying to get milk. I'm not going to buy grandma a necklace.
Into the Kroger.
From my fashion and jewels, because that's where I buy that shit. It makes no sense.
Kroger.
So what on the right, like, are you into coffee? Is there great coffee in the hood?
Yes, there is. I'm not a real coffee snob.
I'm not a snob, but I'm an aficionado, which is more than snobby. It's like one level above.
Yeah, I can't claim to. I don't have a lot of knowledge.
That's a gear thing. We could do a whole episode on coffee gear.
God, I'm trying to think if we did a coffee thing. That would be actually a perfect thing to do for the
mostly
show.
Because of barista culture intertwined with it.
But just all the stuff, like all of like the cold brew
the
things.
Grinders
with the tubes
and the tubes and the Japanese method and hand grinders, which have to be like, it's work. It's like upper body workout just to get a small cup of coffee out of.
But when it's good, though.
It's great.
Do they have Blue Bottle down in Athens?
They do, yeah. In Athens or Atlanta, but yeah, I go to them here and in other places, San Fran.
Pretty delicious.
It's great.
They just really opened one right near my kid's school, which was very smart. It's just one of those.
Because kids need caffeine too.
Well, it's just you drop your kids at school, and then there's a huge line of all the parents, and it's just delicious. It's expensive.
Kids and caffeine. This is just a story I remember. I worked in San Francisco for a while, but I remember this line cook, and turned on the music,
I'm seeing your producer you're sitting in the window and I can see him in the reflection sprinting back to
no dance hall.
I'm sure politely asked him to turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, there's no one in here, so it's fine.
So I'm in San Francisco.
All due respect.
And working years ago. This is like 20 years ago. And one of the line cooks, I'm talking to him just, you know, it's after the shift for a clock. We're cleaning up and he's like, yeah, he's just crazy these days. And I guess Red Bull had just come out. And
Red Bull?
Yeah, Red Bull, the caffeinated, super caffeinated taurine energy drink. And, you know.
Remember Jolt?
No,
is that still a thing?
Jolt was way before. Jolt still exists.
That's when I was in college.
It still exists. Double the caffeine of a regular Coke. But
those are food, by the way.
Shouldn't
we be like chowing down?
We're going to be chowing down very shortly.
Is this podcast going to have a lot of chewing noises?
Yeah, we can do that. It doesn't matter. So they were like, he was like telling me his kids all wigging out every day, and he's like 10 years old, and he's on a baseball team, and it ends up he figures out that the team is sponsored by Red Bull, and the kids just have coolers of Red Bull.
Really?
So his son was drinking like 8 Red Bulls during a game, which is the equivalent of like having 18 espressos.
Oh yeah, wow.
So much so that you would
thank you
go crazy.
Oh, yum.
Good. It's lobster.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. It's
very strange.
Well, just that they hadn't really done the due diligence and research. So right now we're eating lobster rolls in a very, I don't know what style this is. There's the Connecticut style and the Maine style or something like that. One's with just drawn butter like this is, and one's warm. And then one has mayonnaise in it. So I don't know if this is a hybridized one because it ain't that warm. How's the slaw?
Not too bad. I like a very
poppy seed slaw.
Mm-hmm. I like a more mayo-y.
You're into the rich slaw.
This is good. It's clean tasting. Pretty good.
Cleanliness is good. It's next to godliness. So you got two kids. Mm-hmm. They are 7 and 12? No, 7 and 13?
7 and 12. My daughter's almost 7. Well, as of this airing, this podcast, she will be 7.
Right.
As of the recording, she'll be 7 next month.
Is that a handful? Mine are older. It's less of a handful now. They're kind of self-serving.
It's not bad. Just
they have cars. The oldest one has a car.
God, that's so weird to think
of. No, it's great. Don't have to take them anywhere.
Well, here it's, you know, my son is, he can get around on his own, goes to school by himself, does the bus and the subway. So he can kind of get around. He has yet to really like venture into another borough on his own here in New York. Like,
or he hasn't told you he has. He's going up to Queens every day, isn't he?
That would be great. I would love it if I heard that. I think he'd be a little nervous about that, but he can kind of do his own thing, and then my daughter, of course, cannot. But so it's not too bad. We have, like, there's a wide enough age gap where it's not too much of the same thing.
And did you envision that in life that you'd be raising children in New York? Mm. Is that crazy? Or it seems normal. I mean, I walk around Brooklyn and it's like gentrified with whatever baby carriages everywhere. What do they call those? Baby carriages? Is that right? Sure. Prams.
What do they call those? Baby cars?
Baby carts, like go karts.
It's a push cart, right?
What is it? A stroller. Baby cart.
I have moments like that constantly where I feel like I cannot think of the most basic word.
Yep.
It really freaks me out.
No, it shouldn't freak you out. It's called getting old.
I know, but I just saw a thing on CNN or whatever, some kind of sub headline about this simple neck test will tell you if you'll have dementia in 10 years.
And did you fail?
Well, I didn't do it because I felt like, well, what if I did this test? Do I even want to know? Then what? Then I know I'll have dementia? I guess it's good to know, but then you're just...
No, but what if you just played it off as, I can't remember if I did it or not.
Oh, God.
Because I have dementia. That works for me. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's all these... You can take... My dad has Alzheimer's, and you can take a test of whether it's going to prove you're going to have Alzheimer's. It's like, I don't want to go there.
Your dad has it?
Yeah. Yeah. But he's fine. I mean, it's... I think the hardest point is...
How old is he?
Born in 1940, 78. So, 79.
Wow. Yeah, do you have siblings?
Yeah, I've got three older sisters who do all sorts of crazy different things. I think the hardest part is the descent into some sort of dementia. Because when you know, like, there's a guy who's got, he's a PhD in economics and he's really uber fit and all this. And I think the demise to that is the most difficult thing because you're like, damn it, you just get mad at yourself. You're like, I know this. What is going on? And then, but he's aware of it. But then you get to sort of some, I think, complacent state with it eventually. But yeah, it's been a little weird. It's weird. But that's the thing. I mean, your parents are still around. My mom's not. She's passed away, but.
My mom is. My dad passed away 2 years ago.
It's hard. It's like, it's hard because, I mean, we have to kind of help take care of them now and things like that, which
that's
is totally
always
different.
Weird.
Like, it's always
because I don't live where they are.
Yeah.
They're still in, all my family's in Michigan. When he was, this is taking a dark turn of just talking about when my dad was dying.
Right.
Yeah, but
okay.
We're
here to talk about life, not about anything in particular.
But I was flying home once a month and just, it was actually right when I, ironically enough, talking about gear, like when I was writing the pilot, I remember like being at the hospital.
He had
a seizure, discovered a brain tumor. I flew in, I'm at the hospital. He's just sleeping and I'm just working on this pilot. And
you're like writing about medical gear.
It really was all during the writing of that show, actually. And then just that following year, and it was just in this pretty quick descent into death. In a way, thankfully, that it didn't get drawn out.
Yeah.
He had a pretty aggressive glioblastoma, I think it's called.
Wow.
Aggressive brain tumor. But it was all... That was a weird year. Man, oh, man. Crazy. Because just to be trying to, like, go back and forth, trying to come in once a month.
Well, you're also...
As long as I could.
You got your own family below you and trying to balance. And the infrequency and frequency of what you do and what I do is always like this.
Yeah.
Juggle affair.
I have a sister. She's younger. She lives in Michigan. She's dealing with so much more of it.
Right.
Just trying to go in as much as I can.
To help
which
out.
Which never feels like enough, of course.
Right.
And not even just to help, but also just to, like, see him before he's gone.
Yeah.
Not even before he's gone, but because it was a brain thing.
Track of.
That was the hardest part, I think, for me, was just, what does he even, know what's going on? And in some cases that
you
could be.
You hope he doesn't. And in
some
cases you hope he's so focused and remembers when you walk in the room. And
yes.
See and smell you and.
Yeah.
Adore that you're there, but...
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, the most fearful day is when he's like, I don't even know who you are.
Very strange.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
But, whatever. Thankfully went relatively quickly, which is a blessing in a way, and it was just rough to watch. Ugh, just.
Yeah, that stuff
just,
is.
Just shitty. Awful.
Well, back to the show. God damn, what the hell?
Back to this lobster roll. God damn it, it's good.
We're both crying over lobster rolls. I eat like 10 times as fast as you, but that's okay. I learned to eat in fine dining kitchens where you're given about 2 minutes to eat.
You blew through that thing.
Well, you're given like 2 minutes to eat because you just got to get back to work.
Right.
And you do it. And I have done a fair bit of TV, so I realize you do get ample amounts of time to sit around doing absolutely nothing. Getting fed. The old, what's it called? What's the food area called?
The craft services?
Yeah, crafty.
Of a TV set?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that can be really, really shitty or really good.
Yeah, it's a low
budget show. It's
shitty.
Like, yeah, whatever. If you're working on a bigger budget show, I've seen some really good ones.
Yeah. Usually it's like
fresh
Cheetos
squeezed
and cold
juices.
Coffee.
Yeah, it's mostly just crappy snacks and. Yeah. But man, the big budget shows, they have some nice ones.
Yeah.
I wear glasses. You can call me Four Eyes, but I'm very stylish. Also, I cannot read without the glasses, therefore I do not care what you think. But I think they're stylish because they're Warby Parkers. And Warby Parker makes really nice glasses, starting at $95, including prescription lenses. Free home try-on program. Order 5 pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days, and they're no obligation to buy. Ships free and includes a prepaid return shipping label. Head to warbyparker.com/Hugh, H-U-G-H, to order your free home try-ons today. The home try-on kit's amazing. It's fun, it's interesting, and you send the back the ones you don't want. You can also, if you've got an iPhone X, you can download the Warby Parker app and you can use the brand new virtual try-on, allowing you to try on glasses, seeing the realistic color, texture, and size of each style using just your phone. Glasses are not an accessory to me. They're a needed thing. They give me an advantage of reading the fine print. That is pretty important. But they are also stylish, and therefore they do somewhat fall into the accessory category, but they are much cooler than a hat, a necktie, a kerchief, a bolo tie, or one of those clip-on ties. Much cooler. Best accessory ever. Go to warbyparker.com/Hugh, H-U-G-H.
The podcast world is growing bigger and bigger every day, and Himalaya wants to help you navigate it. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love and some future faves as well. Whether you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya's got your back. Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters some love with Himalaya's Tip Jar. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and we're adding cool new features every day. Go to your app store, download Himalaya, that's H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A, and don't forget to follow Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot. Once you're there. So what are you working on now? You just got the second season of Gear wrapped up a while back, but it's finally airing. So what are you working on now?
Now just trying to figure out what's next and working on a few different ideas and trying to get stuff in shape to pitch.
Are you currently writing?
Yes. You know, not for money. It's not a job, but I'm just trying to, you know, working on a couple ideas that will eventually go pitch. So
I write a lot, but it's all about food and whatnot. And the rigmarole of writing, I find is difficult to fit into the day. I find it so easy to suddenly want to organize your sock drawer.
Well,
when you're writing,
then you got to get out of the house.
I know, but then
I'm writing at home.
Then I'm organizing the park bench and cleaning it, or then you subway station. Yeah, I know, but there's always something.
Well, I try. I have like these friends that I work with have an office, and I'll go there to write whenever I can. But if I'm writing at home, even if my wife is away and my kids are in school, I still feel like I'm distracted by being at home.
Yeah.
Like just what you're saying, just, well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And then it's so easy to just take a break from, like, even this morning, I went for a run, came home, was watching stuff online. It took me forever to even just take a shower. It wasn't like, okay, I ran, I got a shower, get to work. It's just so many distractions, and it's easy. And then all of a sudden, I've gotten nothing done. I got to go get my daughter from school today. And it's all, like, petty complaints, of course, but I'm very fortunate to be in that position.
It's not petty complaints, it's life.
I know. But
we all have something to complain about, trust me.
But, yeah. Yeah, so that's currently what's going on, is just kind of in that mode of figuring out what's next, which is always weird.
Yeah.
But then also like starting to do stuff like this, where it's getting ready for the gear show to air. Like now it'll be in a couple months. And so starting to do a lot of promo stuff, which is fun.
So the gear shows are all kind of single topics of gear, not to simplify it. But what sort of assemblage of gear, whether it be camping or fishing or whatever, which was the most interesting to you from a purely, like, not that I'm labeling you, gearhead standpoint? Like, was it the cycling stuff? And did they let you keep this shit?
Some stuff I get to keep.
You get to keep the bike?
Which is, of course, the bike I got to keep.
With that was the his and?
That was actually, I have to say, our production, our art
department. You have to watch the show to realize that, but yeah.
Yeah, we had this joke where I got, or not even a joke, one of the cycling episode where I get a custom frame made. I almost felt bad, like, writing that into a script where John gets a custom frame built for himself. And it was a thing where, at first, I just was joking that, God, I got, like, this free bike. Like, basically, I got the network as part of the budget to pay for this custom bike frame. And then someone pointed out that I actually got paid to get a custom bike frame
for free.
Yes, because it wasn't even free. I got, because I'm getting paid to make the show.
Right.
But it was, you know, it's a great bike. It's so nice. It wasn't truly just the ultimate custom bike because we were still bound by a budget. So right. I couldn't go crazy with components and get like the most top of the line stuff because we couldn't afford that kind of bike. And it was already expensive because it's a custom frame. And we were limited by certain colors and design elements. So it's not this crazy
like
custom
bright
bike.
Orange?
It ended up being this, like, creamsicle kind of orange, right, yeah. And I had envisioned more of a dark orange, and so, but I still love it. It's a great bike. It's fun to ride.
What was the company, Horse?
It's called Horse. This
and
guy,
they're here,
Tom,
based in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Tom Callahan, and he makes really nice bikes.
It's a beautiful-looking bike in the episode.
Yeah, you can even go look him up on, like, Instagram. His stuff is awesome. He makes sweet bikes.
I am kind of a gearhead. I just like stuff. Stuff that's, like, really well-designed and has a purpose and really thought through. But you know, I'm not the gearhead who collects, like, eclectic sneakers. That seems like 10 years younger than me.
Depends on the person. I know people older, just like, but that's easily, yeah. That could be an episode of the show about all my shoes.
Oh, God, yeah.
But even there's a joke in the first season where my wife, again, played by an actress, you know, or we have this argument about me coming home and, you know, me saying, yeah, I got all my gear and all my cool shit. She says, yeah, my shoes and
my bags.
Like, yeah, my shoes and my bags. You mean my gear?
Yeah.
And I say, not the same thing. And we get, then it's just.
But it's true.
It is true.
It's true.
For sure.
Yeah. And, the number of baseball hats I have and, you know.
Oh, my God. I have so many hats. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I bought this hat today because my head was cold in New York.
It's a good hat, though.
It's a good hat.
Who makes that?
I don't know.
I'm trying to check out that label.
Bickley and Mitchell.
Never heard of them.
Well.
Good looking hat, though.
It's a rare Bickley and Mitchell.
Mitchell.
I bought at Brooklyn Industries on a sale rack.
All right.
So it wasn't really sourcing that one that too well.
It's okay. Yeah.
What else is cool in the gear world? What was the fishing episode? I didn't watch the fishing episode. Was it fun? Did you catch anything?
The fishing episode was very fun. It's more of a it's a dream episode.
Right.
It's really one of the more enjoyable episodes. I would highly recommend watching.
Did you ever
it.
Watch Fishing with John?
I never I know what the show is, but I never saw it.
You should definitely watch Fishing
Heard
with John.
Heard it was good.
John Lurie from The Lounge Lizards.
Yeah.
Brooklyn icon of art. Very interesting man.
Like Tom Waits and Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah, he was in
Willem Dafoe, right? All those.
Yeah, but he was in Down by Law with Tom Waits and Roberto Benigni.
Also, wasn't he in? No, he was not in. Was it Stranger Than Paradise?
I think he was. Yeah, he was in Stranger Than Paradise as well.
He was. Yes, what's that other guy's name? Oh,
yeah, that one's gonna blank.
This is terrible. That movie is great. I love that movie so much.
Yeah, still is Down by Law. I mean, Down by Law when Roberto Benigni is singing along with the ice cream song, "Ice Cream, You Scream, We All Scream for Ice Cream in the Cell." It's absolutely hilarious. It's a beautiful. Those are all Jim Jarmusch stuff.
You ever see Ghost Dog?
Yes, Ghost Dog was. Oh, Ghost Dog is amazing.
That movie is so.
Hey, who was in Stranger Than Paradise as a lead?
The other guy.
Not John Lurie.
God, I hate not knowing his name.
Esther Boland, Richard Edson.
Richard Edson.
Is it Edson?
Yeah.
Man, he's so good in that.
Yeah.
That guy's great. He didn't do the right thing. He was the other brother.
Yeah, that's right. That's crazy. God. These are all New York movies, too. That's crazy. Man. True TV. What other big shows do they have?
Their big show is Impractical Jokers.
Oh, with the four guys always sort of pranking each other to do something with the little hidden microphones and go and pinch your butt or whatever. Okay.
That's their big hit. So,
well, you've already raised the intelligence level profoundly then on the whole network.
All due respect.
I had a hidden microphone. I told myself to say that. But
they're trying to make shows with really good people now.
Yeah.
And listen, I haven't seen a lot of Impractical Jokers, but sometimes it's really funny. Those guys are super nice guys.
No, I know they're super nice, and they are super funny. I was just making light. But what they do is it's one of those magical shows that you know it's good when I have to change the channel because I feel so uncomfortable with what's about to happen because it's so embarrassing sometimes. And it's just like, oh, no, I can't watch this.
So. Well, it's not always for me, just to be perfectly honest, but there have been times when I watch it, I'm like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And they have that. Have you seen the Carbonaro Effect is on that?
Yes.
With the magician. Yeah. He's really good. And sometimes that stuff, the people's reactions just kills me. What? Just the faces people make when they're just like, can't believe what they're seeing.
Yeah.
They did a show with Amy Sedaris.
Oh, really?
To me, yeah. And she's, you know, to me, one of the funniest people ever.
Yeah, no. Amy and her brother are two of the funniest humans on the entire planet in so many ways. So.
Did a show with her and there's... Yeah.
That's great. Well, people who listen to this, go watch John Glazer Loves Gear because it's a really funny show that's gone now on True TV. So go and watch it. John, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I have a lot of similar interests in this world.
Yeah.
Raise those kids well.
Thank you. Trying my best.
Never ends.
That's all you can do as a parent, right?
All you can do.
Try your best.
It's kind of a roll of the dice sometimes.
Pretty tough. It's a roll of the dice both ways.
It is.
Can't
it
choose
is.
Your parents, can't choose your kids.
No.
Just do your best.
Just do your best.
Do your best.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, this episode of Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot was taped on location in Brooklyn, New York. Scott Porch produces the show for Himalaya Media with field recording by Brian Blum, sound design by Alex Ramsey, and editing by Brendan Lynch Solomon and Mackenzie Mazzell. Please follow Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot on Apple Podcasts, the Himalaya app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like what you hear, rate and review on your podcast app and come back on Tuesdays for new episodes. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Hugh Atchison. Sometimes you can just see me walking down the street. Don't make it weird. Just talk to me like a normal human, because I'm a normal human. Okay, bye. See you Tuesday.